to be represented here at this important meeting. As I'm sure many of you know, WIPO is the specialized agency in the United Nations family of organizations which deal with intellectual property. And I deal specifically in that context with copyright. Now, the copyright system has always been perceived as built up to accommodate the very fundamental interest of actually both the creative communities and the consumers. Because the intention, and of course I know there can be different opinions as to how well the system has succeeded, how well it's been possible to make a system living up to the intentions, but the intentions have indeed always been that the common interest of the creative communities, the artists, the authors, and so on, for them the interest is to have the works out to as many people as possible. And of course, for the consumers, as Jamie Love also said here, it's very much a question of being able to get access to the works, to the various artistic productions. So there are indeed common interests in that respect. But obviously also there is the economic part of it. The authors, there was once somebody who said that only a fool writes if it's not for money. Of course the artistic communities, the creators, the performers, they have an artistic drive, but indeed they would normally also like to live from what they are doing. And most consumers, as we also heard earlier, realize and accept that it's a normal thing that they will have to pay for the intellectual goods that they get through the various cultural and information industries. So there are indeed common interests, and the copyright system was built up to establish a system that accommodated that. Now there's of course a third part who is not represented today, but I think it's fair to mention that part, and that's the various levels of producers who produce the goods with the cultural and informational contents. If we look at it historically, the Berne Convention, our oldest and most important copyright convention, and indeed the national laws that came before that, were to a very, very high extent instigated by the publishers. They were the ones who felt the piracy, because of course the authors felt it as well, but it was the authors who had, sorry, it was the publishers who had invested money in the productions and who saw that money lost or the income decimated because of piracy. In its original form, as we see it in the Berne Convention and in most national laws, the publishers don't really have very much of a separate role. There is in some national laws some provisions regarding the contract between the authors and the publishers. And what's interesting here is that you can actually see in quite many countries that the same models, that you, same legal models that you use in connection between for example, vendors and consumers, where you protect the consumers against too tough contracts and unreasonable contracts, the similar functions are being used between the publishers and the authors, because the authors in this respect are, of course, also individual persons without specific legal experience who are up against an important and often very resourceful commercial establishment. Later on, we can see that other producers have gotten a more visible role in the copyright system. The producers of phonograms obtained in 1961 in the Rome Convention a right of their own for having made the phonogram. Similar rights were given to broadcasters, and indeed not that many years after, in the 1967 in Stockholm, followed up here in Paris in 1971 in the most recent act of the Paris Convention, specific rules for film producers were introduced, which established a rebuttable presumption for transfer of rights to the film producers regarding all the works that are being created in the course of the making of a film. So the producers have gotten much stronger protection, There's been arguments for that, and the politicians who decide these things have felt that these arguments were strong enough. Of course, one can always discuss how the world could see better, could look better, but that's at least a historical fact that we have these various rights of the producers. But then on the other hand, we can also see in more recent years that there have been a number of areas where the producers have been given less importance. Where, for example, you can see open source software, where very much of it is made decentralized and not through a central producing and controlling unit. You find it in Creative Commons, which is another business model where people in principle give away their rights, they leave open their works for free use up to a certain limit, and of course where that limit is drawn can then be designed individually. I think it's very interesting to see that the copyright system has actually been flexible enough to absorb these new business models without any problems. And of course, future business models where publishers, producers get less importance, get less influence, are indeed possible